this is a fascinating cultural landscape of what the early space age was like. And I think if we take these things as an aggregate and look at those relationships, we learn something that we can't learn just from looking at them individually. So back to the problem at hand. This stuff is all well and good, but we know that collisions with space junk, particularly at the speeds they're travelling, have the potential not only to destroy billions of dollars that sometimes go into the launch of these objects that are providing all of the services that we've come to depend on in the modern world, but they create more junk. The ultimate poor scenario that comes from all of these collisions is what's come to be known as the Kessler syndrome, after a paper published by Donald Kessler and, I forget his first name, Cour Palais in 1978. So the idea is that at a certain tipping point, the number of collisions continue to create more space junk without anybody needing to put anything new up there, and that proliferation continues until Earth orbits become unusable. Some people claim that this tipping point has already been reached. Others say that it's some way off. But it's perhaps the most popular recognition that space junk is a problem, particularly as represented in the recent film Gravity. So it's recognised that we have to get rid of some of this stuff. There's been a very wide array of proposals on how to do that. This ranges from space-based to terrestrial-based lasers that will zap things, alter their orbit enough to tip them back into the atmosphere. Sails and nets and tethers and tugs that will actually collect the bits. And if they don't remove them from orbit, they will at least stop them from being so widely dispersed and lower the risk of collision. One of the main issues with clean-up proposals is that current propulsion systems mean that you can't manoeuvre easily or cheaply in orbit, so you have to take all the fuel you need to perform these clean-up operations with you, and that's hugely costly. SlingSat proposes to use the momentum it swings past something, catches it, and uses that to spin on with its arms to catch the next bit. So it's quite an appealing idea. There are two main problems with all of the proposals to clean up space junk. The first is that cost, and the second is that any effective method for removing a piece of space junk is an anti-satellite weapon. And this is the real sticking point. But all the same, lots of people are doing interesting work on the actual technologies that might work to get some of this stuff out of orbit. So, the question is, I've outlined for you a few interesting bits of space junk that we might say have cultural significance. Part of their cultural significance is the fact that they're still in orbit. Is it safe to leave them in orbit, the setting that they have that contributes to why they're culturally significant? So the sort of immediate reaction might be to say, we just need to get rid of everything that's not working. That's the 96% of stuff that's up there. But maybe, like that process I described of working out what things might have more cultural significance than other things, we can also work out what is the risk of leaving a historic whole spacecraft in orbit. This is the stuff I've done most work on, but there are other sizes of space junk and fragments that you might also have to consider. So let's have a think about it. The large objects in Earth orbit, those are the ones above 10 centimetres, they can be tracked. We know where they are. There's far fewer of them. There's that roughly 29,000 of them, as opposed to the 170 million at least below that size. If you hit something large at hypervelocity, the likelihood is catastrophic breakup of both objects, creating more space junk. However, the likelihood of collision is actually fairly low. It does happen, but it's actually fairly low. The really tiny stuff that's smaller than a millimetre or a centimetre, depending on how you class it, it's a huge amount of stuff, that stuff in orbit. Collisions with it happen constantly, and we know that from returned spacecraft surfaces that show the evidence of constant bombardment. So over time, this stuff does damage spacecraft materials, but it doesn't cause catastrophic breakup, it doesn't cause explosions. You know, you'd have to be pretty unlucky if it actually caused a spacecraft to cease working. The stuff that's actually the most problematic is that stuff between about a centimetre and 10 centimetres. It's hard to track. It's big enough so that it can actually cause the spacecraft to stop working. It can take out, you know, critical systems. It might cause an explosion, less likely, but and there's a huge amount of it. So if we are going to get rid of stuff in Earth orbit, the stuff that creates the highest risk is all of the stuff in that medium size class. It's not necessarily the big stuff, and it's not necessarily some of those whole or nearly whole satellites and spacecraft that we've mentioned. So what this means is, in the words of the Borough Charter, in order to appropriately manage the heritage values of some of these spacecraft, we need to do as much as is necessary, but as little as possible. And fortunately, that also doesn't cost very much, something that appeals to most industries and development companies. And what you could do too is, once you've identified that something has specific cultural significance, you can monitor its situation. If it looks like it is going to be a major risk to some other functioning mission, then you take action then. You don't preempt that by removing something or destroying something when you actually don't need to do it. So we can apply a reasoned process to working out what stuff is really junk with no value and what stuff might actually have some heritage significant to past and future generations. So what I want to end up with, or where I want to end up with, is this idea that the new environment we've created in Earth orbit by putting this stuff up there actually represents a fairly significant phase in human history and human technological development. And it's not static, it's constantly changing, and the way we think about it is constantly changing too, as we get new information about what it is constituted by and what that means for what humans want to do in space. I hope I've also established that not everything up there is just meaningless junk. There's stuff up there, and I've just given you the tiniest little snapshot into some of the things we could consider. And there's, I cannot tell you the number of fascinating stories that are associated with some of the other things. You'll hear more about Australis Oscar V after the break. That's still in orbit as well, technically junk, and yet tremendously culturally significant. So if we're going to clean up space junk, we should not ignore this. This is not necessarily trivial stuff, and it can be easily done. If you're going to remove anything from orbit, you obviously have to make a plan that leaves functioning spacecraft up there. If you have to do that, it's not much of a leap to make it include spacecraft that we might consider to have some cultural significance for some particular group of people. So, in my career on Earth, I've spent a lot of time doing heritage work for environmental impact studies on things like mines out in remote South Australia and in Queensland and other places, for urban development, a whole range of things. Usually as part of that process, there are a lot of things that are considered, and heritage is just one of them. So there's no reason why it can't also be part of a logical process to best manage environmental values in space as well. The thing that you have to do is just make sure you include this early. And in my career as a heritage manager, I found myself often in the situation of saying to a developer, don't complain about the money you're spending on this now. If you had done it at the beginning like we told you, it wouldn't have cost half this amount. So this is something I would also recommend for space. And I'm going to leave you with a picture that one of these objects will be extremely familiar, I'm sure, to everybody in this room. You may not know what these ones in the middle are. These are the mechanoids. So just as the Daleks were evil and nasty and mean and the most terrible cyborgs ever to come into existence, the mechanoids were soft and round and curly and fluffy and friendly. I believe that the mechanoids are partially inspired by Telstar 1, and the Daleks are surprisingly like Sputnik 3 and a range of other Soviet spacecraft. So in terms of those cultural resonances of some of these things that are still in Earth orbit, it reaches much further and deeper than sometimes you would ever imagine.